Oh. Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father, of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love. Send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit, the divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a good thing we got back. There's just pages of announcements. So do listen up. It's good to be home with family. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to list all the current and upcoming events, and there are quite a few things to take note of in there. Be sure to take that home and read everything that's there. And also, it can be found on the website at consciousharmony.org. We will not be having contemplative lunch this Wednesday. And the church offices will be closed Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. There'll be no regularly scheduled activities except for the 7 o'clock prayer in Theosis Chapel. Please join us for our annual Thanksgiving potluck dinner. The doors will open at noon. Dinner is served at 2 p.m. There is a sign-up sheet by the door. And we ask that you bring your china and silver and any goblets or cups, whatever you'd like, just to kick it up a notch and make it a little bit more festive for Thanksgiving. So there's also slots for setup and cleanup. It makes Thanksgiving really sweet, as I can say, when you're thinking in smaller increments with family. Please see the bulletin about the Pine Ridge reservation and the donations we collect each year. The donations, we've moved from collecting clothes and blankets and so on to just collecting funds. And those funds go for providing heat, either propane or wood, for the elderly in the Pine Ridge Nation. And it's a great gift. That is one of the coldest places on earth. I noticed the other day it was 62 degrees, and I was all bundled up, right? But it gets really cold there. We need a volunteer for the midweek service, the 6 to 7 o'clock service. Training is provided. And I saw one courageous soul back there last Wednesday. And you get to participate in the Wednesday service, which is communion and 20 minutes of silence and a homily. Please see Jeff Frank. Jeff is in the back for more details or contact the office. After service, Jackie's going to be signing up our volunteers for winter quarter for the YES program. So for all of you who are Godly Play teachers, if you would stop by and let her know if you know when you're going to be out of town so she can make up the schedules. And if you feel called to participate, you can stop by and see what help they might need. If this is your... Oh, one more thing. The tree gets put up next Saturday, so be sure to get your prayer cards decorated and filled out. And you can put any prayer you want on there, and it will be up there during the Christmas season, a very auspicious time. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. And if you want to stop by on the other side of the bridge, there will be someone there to greet you and give you something to take home and read and begin a dialogue. And now Tim has a message for us.
Just a word regarding Pine Ridge. In addition to being the coldest place, it's also the poorest. These people live in a sort of poverty that's just inconceivable. So out of some of our abundance, about 35 years ago maybe, we got hooked up with the Pine Ridge Reservation people and have since then kept a relationship going in which we annually help them with their heat. This is a small thing for us. It's an enormous thing for them. But more than that, it's movement within the body of Christ, beyond our individualistic self-interests, and into the caring for the other, who is Christ, who suffers with Christ, suffers with us. So the interpenetration of our consciousness is part of the growth in wholeness that is leading us deeper into our need for God, deeper into our capacity to step up to the mark and become in manifestation the human beings that God made us to be. What? No? Now you got to tell me where I was going because I forgot. The spirit will. Well, let's start with dessert. Donald Jenong likes to start with dessert because he wants to be sure there'll be room for it. And I thought, you know what? You know what? That's a really good strategy. So here's dessert. Barbara and I and Peter and Shannon for a couple of days were at the New Kamalali Monastery in the Big Sur coast of California with Bernadette Roberts. Now, for those of you who have been here for a long time, Bernadette Roberts is more than a name because she's been here many, many times gifting us with the astonishing presence that she brings to the earth. But for those of you who don't know, Bernadette has been, she was the one who set to start this church. She's a Christed being. She's a being who has lost herself and her sense of individualism and has written eloquently about the path to no self. And that was the first book I ever picked up of hers. I had a counseling center down the street because I was fed up with being a minister that just had church. All right, nice sermon, see you next week. This isn't what I had in mind at all. So we quit our church, and I didn't know what to do with my life, so I opened a counseling center, and nobody came. So I read, my Jewish psychiatrist friend Carl gave me a book. He said, this book is your book, Tim. Now, at the time, I was studying Eastern thought. And all of a sudden, here came Bernadette's book, The Path to Know Self. And it began with six words that blew my mind, because I thought, what would I have to do, or where would I have to be in consciousness to be able to say, open a book like this? And she writes, by a conviction born of experience. Whoa. That kind of certitude opened my mind to the gifts she had to give. Now, what this woman is offering is Christ. Not some theologically contained abstraction, but the incarnate, visible, physical, present Christ. Now, to get real, we've got to overcome an awful lot of stereotypic thinking, an awful lot of compartmentalized, what Ilya would call Newtonian thinking, to open ourselves to the quantum paradigm, the open-ended participation in life that's being offered to humanity now. Bernadette was like a breath of wind that came and revealed that Christ looks like an old lady. Christ smokes cigarettes. Christ eats white bread. Christ has four kids. Christ sang opera. Christ broke horses. Christ was a Montessori teacher. Christ had a degenerative disease as a child and lived on crutches for years. Christ had a really tough... Christ was a nun in a Carmelite monastery. And now, Christ is 88 years old in the person of Bernadette Roberts, and she is absolutely gorgeous. She can hardly walk, although she can hardly walk four times as fast as me. And she says her face feels like an iron mask because she has myasthenia gravis, which we're hoping they will find a treatment for to help her. But when we arrived at the monastery, there was a note waiting for us. And it said, "Dear Tim and Barbara and Peter, I will not be speaking to you this retreat. It is significant that we should spend our last hours on earth together in the great silence." And I felt so poignantly moved, because I wouldn't have a life if it weren't for what I had learned from Bernadette Roberts. If it weren't for what she witnessed to me. If it weren't for what she brought to her life and gave to mine, and what she would not take from me. I tried to be a little sycophant, a slavish little devotee. I wanted to hang on to her coattails, ride everywhere, just picking up the crumbs following behind her. She wouldn't have any of it. Wouldn't have any of it. Kept throwing me back on myself. She said, "What's the matter with you? Have you lost your faith in God or put too much faith in me? Nobody can teach the spiritual journey. Everybody has to step up and make it their own. You can't ride on somebody else's energy. You've got to say yes yourself." What we knew in the Baptist church is making a decision for Christ. I never liked that, make a decision for Christ. It sounds like a little too, you know, I got out of that. But now I understand. I have to make decisions for Christ, not once, but 1,000 times a day. 1,001, 1,002, as many as it takes to reorient myself to reality. Many of you know that Bernadette and I have had a 30-some year relationship, and sometimes it's been pretty rough. But love stayed there. Love won out. Because the first communion we shared up there, she grabbed hold of him and said, "Love you." And I went, "Really?" And then as we were getting ready to leave, I told her that I'd been talking to the prior, Father Cyprian. Father Cyprian wrote the book Body, Soul, Spirit that we use as a community reading. And he's going to come here next year. He's going to come and do a two-day workshop. Well, I told Bernadette about that. Now, here's this lady, can hardly move. all of a sudden, her arms are up over her head, her face is shining like a light bulb. She shrieks with glee and turns around and hurls herself at me with her arms around me. You couldn't have said anything that would make me happier. And then after a minute, she said, "He's going to have you guys singing the Psalms in no time." But what Bernadette offers is something taken out of Scripture, out of the incrustations of centuries, and is spoken refreshingly in the idiom of a 21st century human person who has kids and who has been through every kind of experience and who has no self. Now, we who have selves try to imagine what it would be like not to have a self, and it's clearly impossible. You cannot imagine it, and so we have to learn about it another way. We have to learn about it kind of inferentially by what it isn't. What it isn't is Christ. What isn't a self is Christ. What isn't a self is embracing the whole world in a heart full of understanding, compassion, mercy, and love. Christ is the isness of all creation. And every now and then, that isness becomes possible to get in a bigger than usual way. Shocks are very useful to people on the spiritual journey. Shocks that shake up for a moment our complacency. Are, okay, I'm doing okay. Unless you found yourself in Christ and Christ in you, we're not doing okay. It's not okay. That's not a full human being who hasn't yet manifested Christ. It's a possible human. It's maybe a human. But the development of the soul or the development of our being proceeds by a process of letting go of everything that is less than Christ. Less than Christ is me being right. Less than Christ is me not liking people. Less than Christ is not generosity and sharing. It goes on and on and on. Individualism and selfishness are anti-Christic. They deny the wholeness of Christ. Now let's get this out of terms that bring a lot of baggage with them and see if we can understand them in a more upfront and personal way. There's two aspects to every single one of us. There's the who, and you, can you feel it? Who I am? If somebody said, "Who are you?" I was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 1943, and I would start to recite a series of experiences. Maybe some likes, maybe some dislikes. That's who I am. And everybody has a who. But the who is particular and personal. There's no other who, and there never will be another who like you, nor will there ever be another who like everybody else. Each of us is a unique, never to be repeated expression of the life of God manifested in humanity. But the who part is based on location, geography, timing, conditioning, family of origin issues, all these things that nobody else is ever going to have gone into giving us our identity as who. But who isn't the whole story, and by no means is it even close to being the whole story, because the whole story is in what you are and what I am. And what I am and what you are is man. We are the human race, particularly present as this who, but also generally present as man, or to use biblical terms as Jesus used them, the Son of Man. I'm just a man. But man and God are one thing. They are united indivisibly and cannot ever be separated. No man, no God, no God, no man. Man is God's intelligent creation, who he has given free will to know him or not to know him, to identify with the who part against all the other who parts and try to assert my who against other who's, or the what part, in which I join Jesus in an open-handed gesture of surrender to the polarities, the arguments, the righteousness, the ups and downs of all the who's that are going on. Because when we come to the what, we discover our lives. We discover that we're far more ourselves than we ever were when we were participating in the thing called self. Now, this thing called self has two aspects to it. And one aspect is that it is a reflexive self. It grabs on to its own identity and holds it in a reflexive gesture that's very hard to relax. Some people call it the self-contraction. And you can feel it when somebody criticizes you, like those worms that go into their shells in the sea. We shrink back into ourselves in the self-contraction. There's also a reflective aspect to it. A reflective aspect in which constant thoughts reflect and reflect and reflect and reflect and reflect and associate in my head. And I look at them and I think about them and I try to ignore them. And yet I say they're my thoughts. They're not my thoughts. My mind is one with the mind of God. And so is yours. With God-like thoughts, we bring a God-like world into being. And when we learn to think those God-like thoughts, we think only good thoughts and they return to us multiplied. Not by asserting our position against other positionalities, not by getting into struggles with polarities and dualistic, you know, the world of the pendulum, but by bearing life, my own, my wife's, my children's, my friends, my communities, by bearing life with the dignity of the God who is breathing each one of us, who is right now beating our hearts, who is bringing consciousness to our minds, and who is inviting us, come deep, come deeper. Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. I will give you rest, for your heavy souls have been carrying the weight of your separation, carrying the weight of your individualism, carrying the weight of the critical otherness that's projected out onto the world around us. And the invitation is, come on into your own heart and just let that go. Let me take care of my world. Now, I was born in 1943 into a world that was at war. And it was a serious war. In the East, Japan had taken over the Philippines, a lot of Southeast Asia, all of China, and was expansive, moving more. In Germany, the thousand-year Reich threatened to engulf the whole world, and there were little allies here and there, Mussolini's and such. But there was a serious threat that the world could be overcome by a force that did not seem welcoming. And yet, that thousand-year Reich lasted a few years. The entire World War threat went away, and there was a period of relative peace. In the 50s, we developed into a Cold War and an economic boom, and consumer goods were available. And we all thought, wow, this is pretty good. And then we found out we were really uptight. And here comes the 60s. Well, the 60s were pretty expansive and filled with license to break down the barriers and do whatever we wanted, children of love. But you know what? Then the 60s ended with assassinations of all my hero figures, riots in the cities and burnings in the cities. I went into South Chicago right after one of those riots and walked around amidst burned out buildings. There's Kill the White Devils written it, painted in them. It was a terrifying time. And then came the 70s, and things got okay again after the gas shortage. But then the 80s hit. Wow, everybody lost them. One of my friends said, do you know I lost my whole net worth? And he had a big Mercedes outside, a nice house. Didn't look like he lost anything to me. Pixels, maybe. The world rides a pendulum. Roaring 20s, Great Depression. It's all linked together. Now, when you see this in a broad perspective, one realizes that the best thing I can do is not ride the pendulum. Oh, now I'm happy, now I'm sad, now conditions are right, now they're wrong. Whether in personal relationships or in cultural affairs, you don't want to ride a pendulum and let your feelings of well-being rise and fall on conditions external to you. What we do is get still inside. And we enter what Bernadette referred to in that note as the great silence. And in the great silence, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Presence replaces fear. Conscious awareness of the allness of God replaces the experience that I'm separate and at risk. In the great silence, everything is as it should be, and I am what I am. It doesn't mean I let go of who I am. Who I am will still be there. It's how we relate to the world. It's how our brain conditioning keeps us functioning. But what goes away? The self-contraction, that hold, that need to be right, that reveals how insecure we feel, and all those reflections that are constantly seducing us into thinking, those are my thoughts. I had the thought. No, the thought had you. So being with Bernadette for 30 years has given me a look at a Christed being and how they live. Has given me to understand through dialogue, through reading, through participating in her workshops, that Christianity is an offer to become real. It's not about being a good girl or a good boy. Not about being nice. It's about becoming real. Getting our sense of self out of the who part, which nobody can ever match another person's who. We're unique and different. But when we come from the what and meet each other as what? Christ to Christ, magic happens. Magic happens. But it requires a little diligence, a little awareness of our own reactivity. Because when we're caught on the pendulum, we will inevitably be reactive. And when we are reactive, we are stupid. When we are reacting, we are at the effect of outer conditions, and we are not real people at all. We're just functions of things that bounce back and forth in the culture. You don't have to be reactive. There's another thing that can happen. Who is always reactive? What can respond? It can respond. And a response can be intelligent. And a response can be merciful. And a response can be compassionate and kind and understanding. Circumstances are not going to be any different than they are. They just are what they are. They were tough all in the 2 millennia since Jesus. Circumstances have always been changing and changing and changing. Regimes are changing, governments are changing, this is changing. But the changeless and eternal Christ stabilizes people in the midst of culturally challenging conditions and offers us the shock to wake up and realize that there's something more I could do than react, gossip, and spread bad news, spread fear. There's something more I can do, which is to realize that I depend on God. We'll let God and the other people take care of themselves. Lord, I depend on you for my sanity. Lord, I depend on you for my love. Lord, I depend on you for my life. And how do I let the Lord know that I do that? Because I practice. I show up. Can you imagine having a relationship with somebody who never talked to you? Who never really came and presented themselves face to face and heart to heart? There's no relationship there. Twice a day, every day, down under the thinking, down into the heart, and there we meet the presence of God in the most authentic way. It needs no validation. It is self a validating experience. Oh my God. My first sit up at the retreat, the first sit, I haven't had this happen in years. The door of the heart opened, and I sank down into that deep, rich experience of the great silence, and felt myself embraced by my Father who loves me, and a most gigantic ah. I put the world down for 2 weeks. When we left, I left a contentious world. And where we went, 1,000 feet over the Pacific Ocean at the Big Sur coast, is this beautiful little monastery. And up there, worship 5 times a day, Eucharist every day, a lot of silence, sitting on benches, looking out at the ocean, listening. Yeah, you could hear the waves down there. And the mind settled out, and it let go. And I told Barbara, it's going to be 4 days after the election before I come down the hill, before I re-enter into the busy, intense world that we went to get a rest from. I'm not going to know. Well, one night after church, Bernadette came up. She said, you know what? She can't talk very well. You know who won the election? Oh. Thanks, Bernadette. But within a moment, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with her presence, because her peacefulness and presence is infectious. It spreads around her. There's a zone of peace and silence near her. Didn't bother her a bit. She said, oh, much crooks. But where she's seeing from is not social critic. Where she's seeing from is God's point of view, in which people taking care of themselves at the expense of others is just absurd. When we read our Bible, with the understandings that are coming to us in this church today, when we read the Bible and the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes from that point of view, resist not evil, agree quickly with your adversary, bless those that curse you, pray for those that despitefully use you. Why? So you'll be nice? No. So you'll be real. So you'll be the Christ you always already are in your experience as well as in the theological reality of it. It's nice if that's the theological reality. But when that experience comes of deep inner, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. When that comes, that's all you need to know about God. You can feel Him take your burden. You can feel yourself release the world. The world is always doing what the world does. The world is where we appear. We appear in the world. We appear sensorially in the world. But where we live is in the what? Child of God, daughter of God, son of God, right here, always. Maybe not noticed, but that doesn't make it any less true. So the diligence we require is to notice through self-observation when we're being seduced to get reactive, and to choose instead to respond by sinking down into the heart and joining Christ in bearing the whole world and all the people in it with the dignity, the love, the certainty, and even the nobility of God. Nobody has to be pushed around, and there aren't any victims at all. Everybody has a choice. There were people in Auschwitz who made the choice for what? And they've written, Frederick Frank, read his stuff, amazing. Who's the Dutch? Eddie Hilsum. Oh my God, Jewish lady about to be put to death. And what is she writing? Glorious understandings of what I'm trying to express to you today in my limited way. We are not prisoners of conditions. We're habituated to being prisoners of them, but that prison has been broken open by Jesus Christ. The bars have been shattered, and any one of us can walk out of that prison anytime we want by dropping down into the great silence and letting go of the world. Maybe right in the middle of a sentence, maybe right in the middle of a reaction, maybe as we see fear starting to creep in, we drop down into the heart and abide there. Take a couple of conscious breaths, and then on into life. Shocks, things that shake us up, very useful. My girlfriend once said to me when I answered the door, she said, Timmy, you look like I got a glass grafted to your hand. Wow, I didn't notice before. I think I maybe have a problem. That shock saved my life. It scared me to see the way I was living because of going nowhere. If we've been living as functions of the world of appearances, reacting, struggling against polarities, we need our life saved. Because that's not our life. It's a tempest in a teapot. Our life is down here in peace. Our life's in the heart, in silence. Our heart is in the co-creative participation with God in the world as it is. But in the farewell discourses, Jesus advises us to be in the world. He prays to his Father, leave them in the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. But let them be not of it. Let them not take their cues from the world of appearances. Let them not take their sense of what is good and what saves them and what makes them secure from the world of appearances. Because there is no security in the world of appearances. The Buddhists refer to it as anicca, the world that's always and only changing. They call it, the Hindus call it maya, the Buddhists refer to it as samsara, Christians refer to it as sin. It's the confused realm where our attention is stuck in who, and it hasn't stopped to realize what. What? How delicious. How absolutely rich and juicy it is to find what. What is life alive? What is conscious and aware? What is creative? What can bring down divine ideas and send them out into the world through our who? But we've been practicing to be who for all of our lives. And it takes some practice to learn to be what. Until I met Bernadette Roberts, I thought I knew a lot. I had a lot of head knowledge. I had gained a lot of information. I had been on this journey for 20 years already. So I had definitions. Life was a lot better than it used to be. I still didn't understand. I still didn't understand. Then I met Bernadette. Please hear this. I think you all should read every word Bernadette Roberts ever wrote. I decided I'm going to go back and read the whole corpus again. If you haven't understood, if I haven't convinced you, if I haven't yet made it clear the importance of what she has offered us, what she means to this community, and what I guarantee you she will mean to the world after she's gone, because everybody likes people who are dead better than they like them when they're here. This is an extraordinary creature. They don't come around but in thousands of years. And it looks like a little old lady. And it can't smoke cigarettes anymore. But she still does the coffee pretty good and the white bread, and she likes sweets. She kept bringing cupcakes up to our hermitage. She even drove the 23 miles down to the Big Sur grocery store to buy us crackers and cheese because she didn't think we might have enough snacks. She's done her work. She sowed the seed God gave her to sow. And she's ready. It's been a real trial for her to stay here in this world the many years that she has, because she's from heaven. Her consciousness is from heaven. And she appears and participates in the earth, but it's a real sacrifice for her to do that. Sometimes, such as when my friend said to me, "Timmy, you look like you got a glass grafted to your hand," all of a sudden my shadow showed. I had been in denial. You probably don't do that, but I had been in denial of my shadow, of the repressed unconscious that had been driving my addiction. Addiction is always driven by repressed unconscious stuff. And when it came to light, that was the beginning of the healing. Well, we're presently engaged in what many see as a struggle for the soul of our nation. There's much we can bring to that. There's much we have to do with it. But it's not activism of the ordinary sort. It's not going out and slaying dragons or righting wrongs. It's about embodying the real life that we have always been. The culture is showing us its shadow. The long repressed darkness behind American prosperity is coming into view. So it's a moment of healing. It's the moment of using this upwelling of what's been repressed and denied for our own transformation, to get it. Because one by one by one, we turn on and the world changes. Now, Jesus was real clear. I said, "I came to set fire to the world, and oh, how I wish it were already burning." One flame lights another flame, lights another flame, lights another flame. I hope this whole room catches fire with the fire of love. I hope this whole room catches the quiet spirit of the great silence, in which we do not move but are moved, in which we do not love but are loved through, in which the mercy of God penetrates His world through our ordinary lives, where we work, in our homes, in the courtesy we show drivers on the road, in large ways and small. This world and everybody in it are here for transformation, and I can't think of a better group to start it with than that's right here today. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Prayer of thanks. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, enfolded in the presence rare of one who fills with truth and light, the one who works with wondrous might. The stillness of this silent hour brings peace, goodwill, and conscious power. The time of silence is to me eternal joy. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, in love with all hearts everywhere. The universe is but the whole of all that is in each pure soul. Truth I now behold, the oneness of all life unfold. To think this loving thought and feel sing with joy, for I am healed. The glory of the Lord I've seen at one, with Him I'm kept serene.
And now let's join together for a time of centering prayer and community. To prepare ourselves, we just become aware that the chairs on which we're sitting are supporting our body weight. In that awareness, we accept that support and we let go. We deeply relax. We open. Relaxed, open, alert, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of divine life, the seat of divine love. And resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart. I pause, my God, along the busy roadside of my life to remember you and your love for me. Calm my body and my heart. Heal me of the social disease of restlessness. Come. I lift up my heart to you, source of all life, a heart quiet and open. I lift up my heart to you in gratitude for the gift of memories and all the marvelous ability that you have hidden deep within us. I recall in thanksgiving not only such famous deeds of salvation as the liberation of Israel from slavery in Egypt and the resurrection of your Son Jesus from the dead, but also the many deeds of love that you have shown to me, your servant. With reverence and awe, I bow down before you, Most High. Holy, holy, holy are you, the womb of all that we call holy. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. I thank you for filling me as well with your glory. Like Moses, I know that this place where I worship you is truly holy ground. Pour forth your spirit on me, the spirit of the holy, to remind me that you ordained me in my mother's womb, to be a priestly maker of sacrifice and servant of all. Anointed from above by your Spirit, come, come with me now as I enter into a deeper place, your presence in the silence. in peace. Let us confidently pray our family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us, and we do it in the spirit of God's endless, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of what's real. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's make our claim on truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the infinite silent presence within us and all around us. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of the moments of each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. As we prepare to consecrate the Eucharist and to celebrate it together, I usually say something. But if you were here last week, you know there's nothing I could say that wasn't said. And if you weren't here last week, Donald Junong gave a talk on the Eucharist that just, there's nothing left to say. This beautiful silent witness, this material witness, is carrying a spiritual reality in it, just like our bodies are. I invite you to come forward open to the mystery of the Eucharist, open to the mystery of human life and our own personal life, asking God to reveal to you what you need to know to live his life in the midst of yours. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who give us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your Spirit on these elements, so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in our communion song, Abba.
We are the clay. Oh.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for teaching us to know you and experience you in the great silence.